I have more to give you than we have time for, so I'm not going to be scattered. I'm going to give you what I can, but we're going to make sure what I have to give you we'll get. Okay? I asked God what He wanted to say and do with you tonight, and here's what He said. God said, I want to change your mind about the purpose and the importance of prayer. I want to change it. See, if you just do these things, then I can just quit. But I think we'll have to do some things first. I want to change your mind about the purpose and importance of prayer. God says, I want to draw you and cause you to want to come after me. He'd like to do that tonight. And finally, He wants to instruct and enable you to begin a life of devotion. Prayer is where your heart becomes devoted to God. Amen? Prayer is where that happens. And prayer, I know, is not the most exciting topic in the world. But for me, in my life right now, it's the greatest thing I know of. It's transformed my life. So I'm going to share a little bit about that. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And we always tend to think, well, where I give my money, that's where, you know, I'll be thinking about that. But what about where you give your time? What about where you put your energy? What about where you put your thought? What you treasure is what you look after. Your heart goes after that. You know what he's saying? So, one thing I learned is that dedication comes first. Let me just tell you, we're sharing testimonies tonight. I'll tell you mine. A couple years ago, it was in September, I was at Panama City Beach, and I was reading some of Billy Godwin's materials. How many of y'all been in a Billy Godwin class of some sort? All right. So, the guy has just radically impacted all of us. And I was reading, you know, and Billy's thing was total dedication. Amen? Totally. Well, he said that over and over again, and I mean, it just went whew, right over my head. I didn't know, you know, total dedication. Yeah, it sounds good, but whatever. Well, I was sitting out just having a little quiet time in the morning. I was reading his material, and it finally got to me. I finally just, something cleared up in my lightning-fast mind that what he was saying is, you've got to be devoted to the Lord first. Think of it. If you do this one thing, if you are devoted to the Lord, everything else is going to work, isn't it? Right? Is that the way that works or not? I mean, how many of you have a dream or like some big goal or something you're wanting to do in life? Okay, about half of us. Good. You know, well, let me tell you something. Before whatever that is happens, you've got to become totally devoted to the Lord. Do you see that? I'm sorry, you probably knew that from a long time ago, but it just dawned on me that no matter what else I'm going to do with my life, the very first thing I've got to do is be devoted to the Lord. Do you see that? Now, see, you may have that same testimony. Maybe 2 years before you get it, but I don't know. I got it. And I said, aha, no matter what else I'm trying to do, no matter what else in life, because it's not going to work. It's not going to. And if it would work, who would care? God, we've got to be devoted to God. So I started to see that. So I started to meet with James Kearney, young man, friend of mine. We would meet in the mornings and we would pray. We'd just say, God, here we are. What do you want to do? And in that process of just simple asking God, God, we want to love you more. How can we love you? That question right there, I want you to know, that question right there, it's been almost 2 years, and God is still answering that question. It's big, and it's good. And when I try to share with folks what God has showed me over all this time, they go, what? Slow down. What is all that? I mean, God has just been dumping on me. And one of the most memorable things he said to me when I said, God, what do you want? Is he said, you know, nobody asks me that anymore. Really. And I started to get close to God. And I'm starting to see, you know, and I'm not some super spiritual, you know, woo, holy guy. But I'm starting to know him. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to know him. And so... I'm as excited as I've ever been, I guess, in my life. No, I don't guess. I know for a fact. I am stoked about God and about life. And it's come through this prayer. So tonight, I'm not going to talk about intercession. I'm not going to talk about spiritual warfare, any of that other funky, wild kind of prayer. I'm going to talk to you about devotional prayer. And I think the message, what God is saying to us is this. Come away with me. Come away with me. I want those words just to sit on you for a minute. Come away with me. Come away with me. And what I want to show you is that that's what God made us for. Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, if it was just going to be all that, right? Before the sin, what were they going to do? Well, tend the garden. Well, what's the point of that? Could God not tend His own garden? He would come in the cool of the day and say, "Hey, Adam, what's up?" And say, "Hey, God, what's going on?" And they would just laugh and love and talk and fellowship and have communion and sweetness together. Relationship, it's the stuff we've been talking about. It's all that really matters. So God's made us for that. So God says to us, come away with me. Luke 3:14, you don't have to turn to any of these. I'm just going to give them to you because we're short on time. But Jesus chose 12, designated them to be apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out. There's that little phrase in there that we tend to skip. See, apostle means sent out, right? One who is sent out. But He chose them and designated them apostles that they might be with Him. Jesus said in His high priestly prayer in John 17, He says, "Father, I want them to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that You gave me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be with me." He wants you to be with Him. Do you understand that? We've all been beat up pretty good in this world, and so it gets harder sometimes to believe that. What does God want to do with me? You know, why would He want to be with me? Well, He does. And I think tonight what God wants you to do, He wants to introduce Himself one more time to say, "I want you. I want you to be with me. And you are desirable to me." He wants to tell you that again, because I think we forget. How many of you know it's easy to forget that in this world? Because this world tells you a bunch of other stuff. This world says, "Hey, we'll like you if you're sexy." Well, that rules most of us out. We like you if you're intelligent. That definitely rules me out. You know, but God says, "I like you. I've made you just like that, and I like you." And so we're going to see Him say that. So come away. What does He mean by come away? Come away with me. Come away from the world. That's thing one. Come away from the world. A friend, you can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world, right? What does it say? Friendship with the world is what? Enmity. It's being an enemy of God. It's adultery. It's running out. You know, you can't serve the two. Come away from entertainment. Do you know what entertainment is? It's distraction, isn't it? You know, you ever see guys do a military maneuver? Okay, you go over there and create a diversion, a distraction, and I'm going to go over here and do the real thing. So here we're all in entertainment, amusement. You know what those words mean? Ah means no, and muse means think. No thinking. What's that word? I'm going to come home and sit and veg. Boy, that's a good one. The enemy's got on us, isn't it? I'm going to turn off all my thought processes and just absorb whatever comes through that box. Scary. Come away from busyness. Come away from ministry. The greatest opposition to devotion to Jesus is service for Him. Say that again. The greatest opposition to our devotion to Jesus is our service for Him. We get lost in it more than anything. Be careful. Jesus is trying to draw us away. There's a funny passage of Scripture in James where it says that each one of us is tempted when by our own evil desires we're dragged away and enticed, and sin is given birth. You know, you've read that little process. Dragged away and enticed. Dragged away from where? From God. Dragged away to where? To a place apart from God where you can get tempted. Well, I want to tell you something. That's just the opposite of what God is trying to do.
He's trying to draw you away. Draw you away and entice you to do good. He's trying to drag you away and entice you to hang out with Him, to good works, to abandon with Him. He's trying to get you away, trying to steal you away. Jesus was forever that way. They said, hey, come here, there's a bunch of people need healed. He said, y'all come on, let's get in the boat. Let's go over here. You know, oh, there's people here, okay, I'll heal them. Heal. Okay, y'all, come on, let's go. And He was forever trying to get away and be with them. You know, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you guys. That's what He told His 12. He's trying to draw us away. And you can't serve two masters. And the American dream says, oh, yes, I can. You'd never say that with your lips, but you've said it plenty of times. You know you have. I want to serve God, and I want to be rich. 1 Timothy 6, 9. Memorize that verse, would you? 1 Timothy 6, 9 goes something like this. Everyone who wants to get rich falls into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Not many sermons on that one. Everyone, I'll say it again, who wants to get rich. Now you say, Lance, that's un-American. Yes, it's un-American. It's contrary. The American dream is contrary to the kingdom. If you want to get rich, you fall. Don't argue with me now. That's in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Everyone who wants to get rich. Y'all looking at me mad now. Come on. Everybody who wants to get rich. Do you want to get rich? See, you're almost ashamed to say no in America. If you say, no, I don't want to get rich, people say, what's wrong with you? Everyone who wants to get rich falls into temptation and a trap. Many foolish, harmful desires. You ever heard you can't cheat an honest man? That's because if you don't want to get rich, if riches doesn't float your boat, then you're immune to many of the draws of the world. But we want to serve two masters. I want to serve God and money. I mean, Jesus said that, didn't He? You can't serve both God and money. Come on now. Is this okay? No, it's not. Y'all are mad at me. Okay, I quit. That's what He said. God desires to be with us, and He don't want to share us. Amen? Any of you spouses want to share your spouse? No. Not going to happen. He wants us, and He wants His name is jealous. God's name is jealous. He desires us. And if you'll give me a minute, I want to break that thing off of you. Because there's something in you. How many of you, come on now, be honest real quick. You feel like when I say to you, God desires you, that you, there's just, you're just not in that 100%. There's something in you that says, I know I've heard the Sunday school stories, but dang, have you seen me? Is there anybody beside, okay, I'm alone in this, I'm alone. Come on, wave at me, really, really, come on. Huh? You feel like there's something in here that's not all there. And you know I got problems, and why does He want me? You know, if you get a bug on you, somebody says, hold still. Pow. Hold still. If you'll hold still a minute, I'm going to swat that thing right off you. You ready? Here we go. Let's go back to school. Number one, God created you perfect. You were a baby. You probably got pictures to prove it. And you were a sweet little baby. And God made you that way, and God made you perfect, and God made you to be perfect. Well, yeah, you walked through the world. Who didn't? We've been marred. We've had ugly things done to us. You had some ugly things done to you in your lifetime, brother? I have. And we've done ugly things. And that perfect little baby, that image that God created, is marred by all that traffic. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus died on the cross to buy us back, to purify us from all that mess, and to make us again perfect. now. Just because you haven't stepped across the line to eternity yet, you can't see it. But if you have been born again, new, regenerated, regened, you've been fixed on the inside, you know what's happened? God lives in that reality where you are perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? People say He sees the end from the beginning. No, no, no. He sees reality. The reality is He's put everything in you that you're ever going to have. There is a likeness of Christ down in your soul that is there. It's true. I'm sorry you can't see it. I can't see it either. But I know it's there because the Word of God tells me it's there. And what I realize is God is having a blast watching it unfold. Isn't He? Look at Kevin Adams. I'm going to point you out right now. I'm just playing. But you know, isn't He? I mean, our life is still like, you know, anybody's life kind of messed up besides mine. You know, it's a little bit wacky. But you know what? It's that perfect thing that He's put in us unfolding. It's growing. It's like a baby. When a baby's born, the baby has all the pieces they're going to have, right? It's a fully formed human being. Just underdeveloped. Just not mature. So, just because you're not all the way there, because you can't see it, doesn't mean He doesn't see it. Now, that's the theory behind it. But let me give you the reality. You want to go back to school? Let's go back to school. Watch this. Close your eyes. Because I want these scriptures just to... I'm going to read you scriptures out of the Song of Songs. How many of you read the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon? That book is about God and His feelings for us. It began as a song about Solomon and the relationship between a man and a woman. But clearly we know that the relationship between a man and a woman is reflective of the relationship of Christ and His church. Amen? It's how God feels about us. So just, I want you to hear this. Listen, look at me. I'm sorry. Don't close your eyes yet. If you'll hold still a minute, it's got nothing to do with me. The Holy Spirit is in the business of restoring souls. And at this precise moment in time, He wants to get a hold of your soul and say something to you and break something off of you and form something in you that's going to last you for eternity. Or you want to just quit and go home? Let's do that. You want to do that? Listen, and I don't care if you're a minister or if you're just brand new, you listen to this. You let God, let the Holy Spirit do His work in you. Shut your eyes. Listen to this. I want you to listen to what God says about you. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Because your voice is sweet. And your face is lovely." Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards that are in bloom. If you listen to those words, He's saying, do this for us. We got something together. This is our vineyard. Song of Songs, chapter 4 says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful you are." Chapter 4, verse 7 says, all beautiful you are, and there is no flaw in you. Come with me. Come with me. Listen to this. You have stolen my heart. You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel from your necklace. How delightful your love is to me. How much more pleasing is your love than wine. Chapter 6 says this. Listen to this. Listen to your Lord. Listen to the King of Heaven saying this to you. Turn your eyes from me. They overwhelm me. Don't look at me, He says. Don't gaze at me. When you look at me like that, it I'm overwhelmed. Chapter 7, verse 6. How beautiful you are and how pleasing. Oh, my love, with all your delights. And this is what we say. I belong to my lover and his desire is for me. Come, my lover. Let's go to the countryside. And chapter 8, verse 10 says, I have become in his eyes like one bringing contentment. Now look at me. It's how he really, really feels about you. He loves you. He delights in you. He's nuts about us. And he wants to be with us. You must meet this man, Jesus. You must meet him again. You must meet and find out what he's like. Because every time you meet him, he's just warmer. You know it? He's more open and he's more ready. And like Sister was saying about making the initiative on the calls, he's the one calling. He set you up tonight, man. You know, you were just going to come have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. But he wants you. You need to know that. He's unhappy because you don't know how much he wants you. Do you understand that? He doesn't say that to make you feel guilty. It's just you need to know. He wants you so bad and you just don't know it. And that makes him sad. He wants to be with us. These are the things I've learned seeking the Lord. Lovers want to be together. Amen? People that love each other, it's just something weird. They want to get alone. Now, what is your level of interest in the Lord? We know how he feels about us. Are you like a casual interest where you kind of, you know, he's all right, I see him from a distance? Or are you at a level where you're like, hey, I'm okay with my relationship with God. I like it just the way it is. I don't want anything further to develop. God forbid. I hope not. Or how about this? There's this other level of relationship where you see somebody that you like. You think you like them, and you'd like to get to like them more. Huh? You'd like to maybe get together and see if something doesn't cook up. Why not? Are you there with Jesus? Could you say, you know, what I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good so far, what if I hung out with him? What if, I tell you what, I think I like him. What if we spend a little time together? What if we set apart some time? We'll see what goes on. That's called courtship. What if maybe something will come up? Maybe we can go somewhere with it. But then there's this other thing where you're in love and you know you got it bad. And you can't wait to get with him. You can't wait to the next. You've got to, and somebody would come and mess with your time with God, it flips you out. That's where we want to be. Do you see? What I've learned is Jesus is, it's a slippery slope. If you get in, listen, how many of you sometimes you feel like, I just can't seem to get it started with the Lord. I can't get my devotional life jump started. Huh? Y'all are just sitting there looking at me. Come on, I know you're out there. I know it's all of us. You know, at one point you're like, God, if I could just, you know, get over the hump. But I want to encourage you. Listen, if you do what you can do, let me tell you something. When you connect with him, he'll get you. He will rope you in. I'm stung. I'm done. I started this thing 2 years ago, and that clock goes off at 4:30, and I'm like, and in the mornings, at first I'm like, oh dear God, this can't be you, you know. But now, just the thought, even when I'm dead tired, I think, miss, I'm hooked. I'm over. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm in the tractor beam. And it doesn't take a whole lot to get there. It really doesn't. What I think God's trying to say to us tonight, what He's trying to do is to get us, He's trying to draw us. You see what I'm saying by drawing us in? He wants us in because He knows it. It's just like the devil. If He can get you a little bit, He can get you a lot. He had just hooked me in on this one thing. Okay, I'm going to meet with James a few mornings a week. No big deal. What the heck? And now I am an addict. I confess, I am a God addict. I'm stuck. And I can't. The switch is on. I can't turn it off. Yes. I don't want to recover. Words of my friend Billy, I'm a happy man. If I'm crazy, leave me alone. So here's what God wants us to do tonight. He wants you, number one, to choose. See it and choose this one thing. Nothing is more important than my being totally dedicated to the Lord. So important. You've got to see that. You've got to see that. No matter what you're pursuing, no matter what you think is noble in life, whether it be something like ministry or a business or a career or whatever you're into, I'm telling you, the thing you need more than anything to make all that work is total dedication. Because when you're tight with God, everything works. And when you're not tight with God, it doesn't work. And even if it does work, you better watch out. Because what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's the thing. Decide tonight, if you do this one thing, choose. Decide, whatever else I do, no matter what else happens, I'm going to be devoted to the Lord. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be devoted, fully, 100% devoted to the Lord. Man, if you do that one thing, brother, if I could flip a switch on all of you and make that happen tonight, pastors could quit. Huh? Pastors, all of us, just everybody, sit down. Because we're on. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about a man that's totally devoted to the Lord. So that's number one, is choose. Choose to make sure that's your goal. Nothing else. Because what? Remember now, if you just do this one thing, that's why Jesus could say very clearly, you know, yeah, food, yeah, clothing, yeah, this. Pagans run after all that. You seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things be added. Don't worry about all the other things. Go first for this. You do that, and you got something going. And the second thing is to change. When's the last time? Now, really, come on, we're mostly church folk here. When's the last time you really repented? You know what I mean? When you got saved, you repented. That's hardcore. You made a real turn. I think what God's calling us to right here is not just, oh, that was such a moving sermon. You know? No. God wants you to move. He wants to move you. You see? He wants us to radically change and repent and change our ways. If you can look at your own life. Now, see, I'm not going to judge you. I don't know you. I couldn't, you know, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's working on you, though, and He's saying to you, here's a thing right here that needs to change. You can walk out of here tonight radically different, radically changed. If you just do one thing, set your goal, I will be devoted to the Lord. I will seek the Lord and find Him. If you set your mind on that one thing and make a change in your... Here's the danger. I wrote this down. I heard the Lord say this. Here is your danger. The danger is this. Everybody listen. If your interest in Him or your love for Him isn't enough to draw you into doing the discipline of prayer, which is basically just setting aside the time and being there, just show up and say, God, here I am. If your love interest, if you can't get there, you're in danger. If you can get your body to prayer, if you can become devoted just to prayer, to the discipline of prayer, being there, then He can get you. He'll get a hold of your heart, and before you know it, you'll be like me. I'm just an in for the ride, baby. Make sure you can get over that one hump.
That's what he wants us to do tonight. He wants us to see it. How many of you feel like you see it? What I've talked about tonight, you see it. You know what I'm talking about. That it's, you know what I'm saying? Okay, if you can see it, that's half of it right there. That's the big half. Next is just putting your feet down on it. Next is just saying, yes, I see what I need, and now I'm going to do it. And don't let your mind run crazy about, oh, how am I going, you know, when am I going to do it? Don't worry about that. Do it. Figure it out. You don't have to meet with other people. You don't have to organize some big thing. It's just you. God's just called you to your time with Him. You make that time. Now, what I did find was helpful. I want to give you this one tidbit. It was helpful to have James Kearney, my brother, because if I didn't show up at 5:30, he wasn't there. Or he was there and I wasn't, and vice versa. So I helped him, he helped me, you see. It's like a workout party. Now, he didn't do my praying and my relationship for me, and I didn't do his for him, you see. But together, we helped one another on. Gerard's been there. So I encourage you, make the change. And get somebody to hold you accountable. Get somebody to help you. Remember, at first, it's a discipline. If it's still a discipline after like 3 years, quit. Do something else. Try a little different. Because what I've found is it doesn't take much going this way, and God will wash over you this way. And then you come a little bit more this way, and whoom, He'll knock you down again. So you at first it's a discipline. At first it's going to be hard. And James and I, we committed to one another. We said, look, the first couple weeks, it's going to be hard rolling out of that bed. But old body's got to learn. It ain't in charge no more. And we had to teach that hard lesson the first few weeks. Like I said, now it's good, it's better. But you've got to start with, you see what I'm saying? Start with the very practical, easy, you know, straight up discipline. Do it. Be there. Show up. And I promise you, if you'll say to God, God, what do you want? Show me how I can love you. Watch out. He's dying to show you that. He said, I've been waiting on you to ask me that one. Hang on. Get your pencil out. I have to keep a book with me all the time because he's forever just... Before I started doing this, I used to go around. You guys all that are my friends, you can tell. I used to say, why didn't God ever speak? If He wants something, why don't you just come out and say it? Anybody else said that? Well, about 3 months into this thing, I was down raking the yard and God was showing me something about the acorns in the thing and I was like, do you ever stop talking? And I mean, it dawned on me. I realized, I was like, God, you know, it wasn't Him that was, you know, that the problem. I was not too near. He was just going off all the time. But when you put yourself in a place where you can listen, He talks all the time. Amen? The things He wanted to do tonight was to change your mind about the purpose and importance of prayer. You see it a little higher on the list now. It's not just about, hey, you know, there is a place for intercession. There is a place for spiritual warfare. There's all a place for all those kinds. Because the Bible says do all kinds of prayers. But I'm talking about this one where you meet and talk with God. More important than anything. You get that one thing on, I promise you the other stuff will come. God wants to draw you. Do you feel drawn? You feel a little more at the end of this time that you feel Him? You can tell He's kind of saying, yeah, come on. You can sense how He feels a little bit more about you. And I want to tell you, we didn't get done on all that who you are in Christ business. I can tell. Y'all got a long way to go. All of us. We got a long, amen? We got a long way to go on that. We got a lot of stuff to break off. But I think you're starting to just see it. He's drawing us to Him. And to instruct you a little bit, just give you a little bit of practical help on that. Amen? Could we pray and commit this to the Lord? Can we just ask the Father to... Because if you want it, you can have it. Right? You don't have to right this moment know how to do it. How many of you feel like I want it, but I'm not sure exactly how it's ever going to happen? Anybody? God, y'all are not good hand raisers. This is charismatic church. Put them both up, man. Come on. All right. Because I feel like that sometimes. I feel like I'd like to have this, but I don't know what. If you just want it, and you tell God you want it, He'll make sure it happens. Can we do that together? Let's do that. Let's just pray.
And another thing I've learned is every time you pray, pray as hard as you can.
Pray with everything you got. If you pray the best you can, that's all I'm saying. Pray the best you can right now. Let's do this. I'm going to just lead you with some words, but I want you to just, this is you and God. You tell God,
Father, we want to know You. We know that You long for us. We've heard that You desire us, that You like us. God, we feel the draw to You. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, make a change in my life. Put this thing first, oh God. This seeking of You. Above all things, Lord, if I could ask one thing, I wouldn't ask for riches. I'm asking to be devoted to You. A heart that follows after You, God. Lord, we pray together as a body. We're just brothers and sisters here, Lord. We ask You, in the name of Jesus, begin a devotional journey with us. Put our feet on the path, oh God. Show us how to get started. Show us how to move forward. Show us how to take it to the next level. God, we ask You to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. We know ourselves, Lord, to be lazy, to be disinterested, to be apathetic. But God, that's just all the flesh. That's not the Spirit You put in us. Lord, we ask You in the name of Jesus right now, everything we've heard and everything each heart has desired in this place, every desire, Lord, we ask You to hear it, to see that desire and to meet that desire. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, we pray together. We agree together that we'll see something different. We'll see a change in our lives. We'll see our life, our schedule, our heart, our demeanor will be different because of the work You've done in our hearts. God, we resign it all over to You. And we ask You, Lord, to lead us and help us to do one day at a time. Just lead us tonight and tomorrow on this journey of how to follow You, to come after You, Lord. We want to come after You like You came after us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.